Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, we fooled you. Steve's not here today. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve. And I'm lucky because I'm sitting next to Alice Menton.
Hello.
And Mylon Yurkovich.
Hi, Larry. How are you? Hi, Alice.
Hi, Mylon.
It's good to be with you guys. I want to open up with a prayer out of the book of Ephesians before we get into all the stuff of radio. Paul writes this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, I think that passage speaks right to what we do here in New Life Live. You know, we want people to feel strengthened with the power through His Spirit in their inner beings. It's not just listening to something in one ear and out the other. We want them to take it and do something with it. So,
to internalize truth is something that takes time, intention, mindfulness. I'm going to work at internalizing something. And what the Apostle Paul is saying there is, I want you to really take this in and soak it in. Don't just let it roll off your back.
Right.
And just hear it. One ear out the other.
And he speaks of the power we have through Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the power. He talks about it a lot in Ephesians, his prayers. Power.
And one of the ways we internalize is by meditating over and over and over on that concept. We allow it to sink in further and further and further.
Yeah.
And then we ask the questions, so what? So what? So what about this truth? Well, then it ought to make a difference. And we critically think about it. If this is true, what should be different in my life?
Yeah.
And we tend to feel God's love best and most fully through other people.
Oh, good point.
A lot of the folks that I work with have a very solitary relationship with just God, but an isolation from other people, and they wonder why they can't feel God's love. Mm. But we need human connection for God to use us as a conduit of His love for each other.
Yeah. I always feel more loved when I'm around Larry. I really do. That's the truth. It just feels. See, now that laugh just makes me feel loved.
I'm sorry.
And I'm sitting right next to
Mylon
him.
Mylon cracks me up.
Well, I do, Larry. I just feel loved when I'm in your presence. You're right, Alice. Yep. People make God real in the sense of a real hug. And the body of Christ is supposed to do all these incredible things for one another, love one another, support, bear one another's burdens, confess to one another, encourage, comfort. Well, that requires an openness.
One another.
Yeah, it really does.
One another. This is the week that we're doing two workshops at one time in one hotel. We're going to be in Dallas area, and we are going to be doing Take Your Life Back. And Steve and Dave Stoop will be doing that. And then we're going to be doing Every Man's Battle. And Jason Martinkus will be up and doing that. Those workshops are important. I go to every man's battle workshop all year round, and I always say that's the best thing we ever do. But that's because I'm there. When I'm at Take Your Life Back, I'd say the same thing. It's the best thing we ever do, because it reaches down and it makes people live differently. They sense God's Spirit. They sense that there is a different way to live. They are really experiencing Romans 12:2 when they're learning to think in another way, to be renewed by how they think and not to be conformed to the patterns of this world. So if you're interested, please look at those. If you're not interested for Every Man's Battle, come anyway. Listen to your wife. Wives, get your husbands there. Even if they don't want to go, they're going to experience something that they need to experience, and we get life change all the time at those workshops. So
I got an idea.
All right.
And the husband could go to every man's battle.
Bingo.
And the wife could go to take your life back.
All right. You heard it from Island. We'll be back after this.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I'm with Alice Benton and with Mylon Yurkovich. And we're going to go to the phones, and we're going to talk to, I had one up there and I forgot who it was. There it is. We're going to talk to Rachel. And Rachel's on line 6, I think. I hit that right. Yes, Rachel, Baltimore, Maryland, listen on Sirius XM. Thanks for listening.
Hi, love listening. You have no idea how much the program's helped me.
Well, good.
Thank you.
Well, how can we help you today?
Okay, I'm going to try to get this off speaker, but I'm afraid I'll lose you. Okay, you there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how am I? I'm going to give you the question first, and then I'd like to give you just a little bit of details so you can help me. I want to know how to introduce sex, the topic of sex, particularly porn with my 11-year-old son. He has Asperger's. Now, to my knowledge, he really only knows about puberty right now. He's extremely intelligent but very delayed maturity-wise and has major communication issues. And he can't really talk to me about anything that's not involving his special interests. So I'm afraid if he sees or hears something that he's not going to come to me or come to us about it. He does see a Christian counselor right now biweekly, mainly for anxiety and impulsiveness, but it's not helping so much. But the main reason I do keep him there is to develop a comfortable relationship with someone now for when he becomes adolescent and may need more therapy. So that's working out. But I want to be careful how to handle the porn issue because I don't want to prompt the curiosity in him. And but I want to be the one who talks to him. And even about sex, I'd love to hear from you, like some specific words to use, because I'm not very articulate when I have to have these conversations. Now, there is a little bit of oddity in his, what's prompting my call right now is actually I've discovered that our 13-year-old neighbor and my son's only friend has been viewing porn. So I'm wondering, is this going to come up sometime with his friend? Now, he's only, as to my knowledge, he hasn't viewed any at my house or spoke to him about it, but I'm concerned he might. And to boot, they have complete opposite values from our Christian home. They're very liberal, and I'm sure he's being influenced by that. But if you want to know a little bit about his relationship, with his friendship with him, they've been friends 5 years, and my husband and I think it's a little odd of a friendship. He's the only peer my son's comfortable with, naturally. He doesn't make friends. But, I have some concern about his future sexuality, porn, and...
I think we get the picture. So
okay.
What do you guys think? Where do you start?
Well, every young man needs to find out and learn about his sexuality and the sexuality of others. It's about being age appropriate, but it's also something that he's walking into a world right now where that is, you must assume that if he's good friends with this kid, I would assume with a very high probability mm-hmm. that the friend has talked or shown him porn, if you know that to be true. Rachel, where's your husband in all this?
Yeah.
I'm hearing I need to, me, stuff. I'm not hearing as much a we. Now, where's Dad in all this?
Well, he's, I don't know his comfort level. I mean, he had the mentality and attitude when we met that you should test drive a car before buying, regarding sex before marriage, things like that. So my son is a little more comfortable with me. That's the bottom line. And I don't mind. I would rather be the one before my husband gets a hold of him because I'm not quite sure.
So, so then you have split values in your own home. You said our home is a different home than our neighbors, and we have a different set of values. Actually, you and your husband have a different set of values.
Not completely. He is a Christian, but he is not walking the walk.
That's a different set of values.
If you're not comfortable having him.
Yes.
I highly recommend that whatever you do, you need to do together. I would hope that you're – well, I don't know what that little grunt came from right there. But I would have an honest talk, and I would have a talk with him and say, look, our son is entering into a phase right now where, you know, 11-year-olds, that's all they talk about is sex. You know, the social media, everything is about sexual information, and I realize he may not be involved in that. But in the fact that he has this 13-year-old neighbor, he's going to be very much involved. Does he go to a regular school? Is he matriculated in a mainstream school situation?
He does, but my neighbor's homeschooled, so he doesn't have any other friends either,
okay,
nor any opportunity
but,
to meet girls.
But if your son is in a mainstream school situation, he is surrounded by sexual talk. To not have a talk is
irresponsible.
Larry said irresponsibility. It's also naive to think, well, you know, maybe one of these days we'll have this talk. He is surrounded by it. And you basically want to start off with, you know, God's design, the differences between male and female, how a baby is born, all those different things. And then later with time, just how in a Christian home we have an enemy and the enemy wants to distort that. Our flesh wants to distort that as well. So you really need to begin by building a base of God's incredible design of how he made babies to be born and to make sure he understands all that. And even though he's slow in his development, he's smart and he'll pick it up. But then to tell him, here's what you're going to be exposed to.
He'll also pick up if Dad's not involved.
He will.
You're so right, Mylan, in having both parents be a part of this.
They should be a part of that conversation.
And if you and your husband can't get on the same page, that points to the problem you need to face first.
Mm-hmm.
We just have major communication issues.
Well, of course you do. Yeah. So it sounds like he's more your child than your husband's.
Well, my husband's pretty much lets me pretty much take the reins and a lot of like discipline and all that.
Well,
he lets me be the fun dad.
You're the parent.
The head of the household. Yeah.
I know, and that's kind of a problem. That's what I think. I'm going to say this. Backing up a bit, I would think you and your husband really need to get in with good couples therapists that can help you guys really. There's a reason why he's avoiding responsibility. We don't know what that is. But it's an internal thing inside him. We don't know why he's just abdicating responsibility. And he cannot afford to do that.
Alice, any thoughts?
We've had two counselors. It just, I don't know, he's just set in his ways and this is how I am. But I understand that part. Otherwise, if I lead the conversation, which I probably will,
I have about four different steps I think you could take to, in case your husband won't have this conversation or if you can't trust him to have it. But one of the steps that I would suggest would involve requesting that your husband get equipped with you to have this conversation with your son. That would be step one. And he may say no, but to at least ask. Now, because you perhaps distrust what he would say to your son, I would say the second step would be for you to get Every Young Man's Battle. I read Every Man's Battle because I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know what men really experience in this society and how much they're bombarded with pornography or soft porn all over the place. So Every Young Man's Battle can give you the words to say, can point you and your husband in the right direction. And then the last two things I would suggest would be to consider something called Covenant Eyes or any other program that you can put on telephones, on computers, to set some boundaries to protect your son from accessing pornography, at least in your home. The last one would be to talk with the parents of the 13-year-old neighbor directly to express your concerns, and perhaps to even, after the conversation, depending on how they respond, to set a boundary, to say that, you know, your son can't use the computer over there with a 13-year-old without the parents being present, if they're willing to be on board with you to protect your son's eyes. Because I think Mylan is so right in saying it's probably wisest to assume he's exposed to pornography at the neighbor's house, and you'll need help from the parents to safeguard him while not ending the relationship with his one little buddy that he has.
And the other thing I would add, Rachel, is ask your husband to go to Every Man's Battle to learn about this issue, even if he denies that he has the issue, which I'd be suspect of, but to learn about how to better communicate with his son. Because at Every Man's Battle, they go and look in depth at why people turn to sex as their drug of choice, so to speak. And your son will be faced with those kinds of decisions. And if your husband can help him make those decisions better because he understands that, it would be a win for all of you.
Okay. Yeah, he won't attend that.
Wait a minute.
You won't even go to...
Wait a minute. Don't just dismiss things like that. If you sit down and have a cogent conversation, or if you have him listen to this radio program and let him hear from others, not just you, your voice may be just ma 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 to him, and he might hear something from somebody else that he doesn't hear from you. So I would just really encourage you not to just dismiss, he's not going to do that. It sounds to me like you're wanting to be the one to make this all happen, and you're not interested in bringing him in. And I think you need to be more interested in bringing him in.
You know, Larry, this point of all of our listeners and callers, they can have this, they can listen to this show. Mm-hmm. They can actually go on the website and replay and re-air today's shows. And it's important to understand that, and that might be a good way to start a conversation. I love Rachel's desire to want to do the right thing. But it's not just the kid next door looking at porn. Every kid's smartphone is really a stupid phone because it shows pornography and sexting and all the stuff they do. The kids are surrounded by it now these days, even down into fifth and fourth grade.
Well, next door neighbor that's into it, only friend.
Isn't that ironic? He's homeschooled, but you know, is doing porn. Mm-hmm. I've known lots of homeschool kids that do porn, and so it's a real concern. And I love your heart, Rachel. Don't lose that here.
Okay.
We appreciate that you want to do something and be proactive.
Alice, one more thing.
Larry, if I could add just two last thoughts, Rachel. One is that there are support groups at churches for young people. And so to get your son in a situation with other Christian kids could be a safe environment for him to make other friends, to expand his social environment. And the last one is, let's not forget the power of prayer in this. That I pray right now and ask you to continue doing so, that God uses his supernatural power to change your husband's heart, to protect your son, and to equip you with the words you need for all these conversations.
Well, thank you for calling us, Rachel. I agree with that prayer. It's a tough thing to raise a young man these days because, like Alice said, the bombardment of this, any commercials on television, they're pornographic.
Mm-hmm.
So let us send you Every Young Man's Battle. I think that was a great suggestion of a book for her, and we hope that helps. I think we have time, Terry. Let's listen to the clip from tv.newlife.com. This is a clip, and the title is called My Family is Broken, How Do I Fix It? This is Mylan and Alice are doing this one. They're answering a question from a woman whose family has suffered from trauma. As a mom of adult children, she's trying to help her adult sons heal their relationships. So it's a tough story, but let's listen in.
When someone has been destructive or abusive, it takes a long period of them getting help to be showing enough proof, enough evidence that they are a changed person. And that other brother that's not willing to have communication, he may need to see that his brother's engaged in therapy and showing positive signs of this change for a long period of time before he's willing to be vulnerable for him even having any conversation. And I think Mylan is going to talk to that in a minute, of how to even get the brothers into the same room if the other brother won't talk to him. But I'll add just one other thing before I turn it over to Mylan here. I'm a big proponent of letter writing when someone in our lives won't communicate with us.
That's a great idea.
For whatever reason.
Oh, I like that.
So you may be in a position, as you've gone to some of your son's therapy, to encourage him to write a letter, sharing perhaps some of the things he's done to change his own attitude and character. And the letter might include some aspects of forgiveness, where he takes responsibility for his role in the problems, where he even offers empathy for how it may have affected his brother, and where he reaches out and invites his brother, letting him know he wants communication.
Well, that's the kind of stuff you can get on tv.newlife.com.
I liked how I chimed in there and said, that's a good idea.
You were brilliant, by the
way. Wasn't that? I was just amazing. Alice and me, what a team we are. I can tell what the producers are doing here.
Oh, my goodness. But, okay, get the smile off. Check out tv.newlife.com. The people that receive, that sign up for that, tell us that it's life-changing. They hear things. There's probably 1,200 videos on there.
It's amazing.
They are there all the time. We add one every day. Please go check it out. You won't be sorry that you did. Won't be sorry that you did. And you might hear Mylan say, hey, that's a good idea again. Okay, we're going to a break and we'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn today, and I'm here with Mylan Yurkovich and Alice Benton, and we're going to go right back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Dale in Savannah, Georgia, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Dale.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How can we help you today?
Okay. I'm a 60-year-old overprotective father, raised five girls, blah, blah, blah. So my youngest, 25, segue, I've been a nurse for 30-some-odd years now as well. So kind of familiar with the psychology, psychiatric stuff. So in Dad's opinion, my 25-year-old, who had a first marriage at 17 due to pregnancy and married a convicted felon who is still currently in prison. So that's issue one. She gets divorced. And she has a six-year-old son who is, of course, awesome. Every grandchild is awesome. I think she has married a very narcissistic man. She called the program 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to say didn't get, in my opinion, the best advice. But still, I love your show. Don't mean to be demeaning. So my question is, they play what I call snippet games. She'll get ready to walk out of the house in the morning, and she'll say, I guess you're not giving me a kiss. Is that what you want? You want me to give you a kiss? Just little snippet things like that. I think she's been so hurt. They've only been married a year, and in my opinion, all they do is fight or this snippet thing. So my question directly is, does what I view a 39-year-old narcissistic male who's got to be right, I think he's very insecure with himself, does she have, besides the good Lord above, does she have any recourse? They live in the middle of nowhere, Idaho, surrounded by the good old Mormons. So she has no support system, in my opinion. And that's it.
Dale, I'm curious, when your daughter called a few weeks ago, could you just briefly outline what was she told by the co-host at that time?
I just don't remember because that show's going to air March 1st. So she wasn't live that day.
Okay.
From what I remember, it was because she was more upset because I really talk up your show. She acted like, well, gee, it could be your fault, Cody. Not he's not narcissistic. You could be narcissistic. I mean, when we're out there, I take a month off every couple of months, and we go out there because, of course, we don't get to see our grandson, which is the joy of all joys. And so it's tough just watching the dynamic of those two interacting. And she's got her issues. She is not perfect. That's for
okay.
Sure.
So Dale, what is your question? Let's try to address a very specific question.
Refocus. What would you recommend she doing?
Okay.
Besides the good old, I pray a lot, and she does. She's got 40,000 books here.
You know, prayer alone doesn't do as much as prayer and doing something combined. You know, we each need to do things along with that. So really what we understand here is that, so your daughter has picked two guys, Dale, that haven't been the best choices, what you're telling me.
Correct.
All right. So is she willing to face that? Is she willing to look at that? I think number one, she would need to stop and ask herself, why have I done what I did? And if at all possible, you know, she can get into her own counseling to try and ask, what is it about these two guys that don't seem to be the most healthy of all people on the planet? Why did I pick them? What was it about me? Secondly, I would also suggest that, and with a skilled therapist, they can do that as a couple if the husband would go in as well. You know, she really wants something. She wants his attention, and she's picked an inattentive guy. If she has to ask him for a kiss, you know, she's picked a guy that, you know, is very, stingy with his affections and hugs and kisses and things like that. So I really think they need to do something with respect to the counseling and really to work on their relationship. What on earth is our relationship? And
so that's a good point. And so we suggested that the last time we were out there.
Mm-hmm.
He does construction. He does, in my opinion, does pretty good. But of course, his company doesn't offer benefits.
You know what?
So he will say things like, "When you get your act together, then we'll work on mine."
Well, you know what, Dale? Dale. You know what? A divorce is far more expensive than, you know, paying for it out of your pocket. You know, if you went to therapy for a year, you know, and it's $6,000. I mean, that's a whole lot cheaper than a divorce is going to cost you. So I tell people, spend the money. I don't care if your insurance covers it or not. And that's something you need to do.
And so, Dale, you have such a heart for your daughter. I would suggest maybe giving them the gift of a session or two that you and your wife might pay for.
Tried it. Okay. More than willing.
Dale, we're going to come back.
Dale,
we'll come back right after the break and just wrap this one up, okay? So just hold on. And we'll be back and continue with some other calls, too. But thanks for listening.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix, so we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. We're just wrapping up a call with Dale. He's concerned because his daughter is married to what he believes is a narcissist and is wondering what resources does she have or how can she do things to help him, help their marriage and help him.
Well, most of us start off in relationship horribly under-skilled and underdeveloped in terms of our emotional, Amen. Relational skills, and then communication skills. If we never had any experience like that, what makes us think we're going to all of a sudden get married and be able to have great conversations, and then we're going to live at the lowest common emotional denominator that we can come up with? To call him a narcissist, it may be a little bit of an overstatement. The fact that he doesn't know what to do or that he's avoidant, emotionally disconnected, that there's a chase scene between his daughter and the husband, I think that would read How We Love and look at the core patterns and the duets of damage and see which one of those they can find for themselves. And then I would have to say at some level, and I love how Dale said, you know, he's the overly protective dad. But at some level, you have to walk away and you have to say, you guys are going to have to work this out on your own. We'll help.
Yeah.
But you guys are going to have to do this on your own.
Alice, you had a
thought. What were you going to say, Alice?
Yeah, I had just two or three things I wanted to add. One, I think I want to speak to Dale directly in that, Dale, it's so difficult when our children's behavior is out of our control and they get to make unhealthy choices. They get to be with unhealthy people, and how difficult for a parent to see that and to know the damage that it can bring. And so, Dale, there's something that's in your control that I want to talk to you about, even though you called for your daughter's sake, which is accepting and grieving your daughter's choices and grieving that she may not be living the life that you wish she could live. And that's just the sorrow of parents that we have to go through. Another may be avoiding criticizing your daughter's husband to her, mm-hmm. avoiding criticizing him. And then the last idea, if you were to go out to visit again, would be doing your own self-evaluation of mistakes that you may have made, things that you may have done that affected her life in a negative way, and addressing that to her, speaking to her, asking for forgiveness for what you have done wrong. This can be an example to her of what you hope happens between her and her husband. So it's this idea of knowing that we can influence people by our own behavior, but letting go of wanting to control, or as you said, overprotect our children. So I hope that encourages you and equips you with a few action steps to take.
So, Dale, thank you for calling. It's tough. I know we've had, I have a positive experience in that we have a daughter-in-law that for the first year or two of my son's marriage, we just weren't sure how things were going to work out. I knew they'd stay married, but our relationship with her, and she has turned into the last couple of years to be the jewel and the crown of our relationship. She's just wonderful. And so I can see that things can change. And it, part of it was we just decided we had to love her. That's all we could do was love her. We weren't trying to change her. We just had to love her. And she did work on her own, but it did come together. And I hope that will encourage you, Dale. Let's go and let's talk to Bob in Omaha, Nebraska. Bob, welcome to New Life. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Tell us how we can help you.
Well, been married for a little over 12 years, and my wife moved out just a little over a year ago, and she has went ahead and filed for divorce about a month ago, went ahead and filed paperwork, and it started in roughly October 2015 is when she first let me know that she was thinking about divorce. And so I guess I've kind of got a two-part question is, at the time that this all started happening, we've had a kind of a rocky marriage, you would say. We dealt with infertility for a long time and some other issues. But she started accusing me of being verbally and emotionally abusive. And I'm trying to get my hands around. I've seen quite a few counselors, and we went away for like a four-day intensive with the Smalley group, and we've done different things. And I'm just trying to get my hands around how much of that is true. I guess in her mind it is true that she felt like she was abused. But about the time all that started coming out, I found out she was having an online affair with an old boyfriend that had gotten pretty sexual in nature. And so that, and then also just trying to understand if I should continue to try to reach out to her to try to reconcile. I still believe in my heart that the best thing for us would be to keep our family together. We have two young kids, 7 and 10. And that would be my desire, is to not go through a divorce, but she's pretty headset on it at this point.
Dale, what has happened since you found out about the affair? Just in that, has your wife done any work on that? Has she admitted to it? Has it ended?
Yeah, she. I think it did. There was some repentance for about the first day or two, and I probably did about everything wrong. I forgave really quick. I got her to agree to go to the Smalley group, but it was pretty quick after that it started. I may have done this. It wasn't really an affair, and it was wrong, but it's a one-time thing, and it's no big deal, and it's nothing compared to what you've done to me for the last decade.
Okay, so she's minimized it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's apologized for the fact that it hurt me, and she said she knows what she did wrong. There was nothing wrong. It happened. We had a prior instance after our second child was born where she lied to me and had a relationship online with an old friend who was trying to get her to come and meet him somewhere, and they never did meet as far as I know, but it was kind of a similar nature, and she would lie to me about it and then say that she had to lie to not hurt my feelings, and this one was kind of the same way.
Okay.
So there's kind of a little bit of a pattern here.
Dale, you ask a really important question, but I want to speak for just a moment to your pain. For you to have a 7 and a 10-year-old and to be going through a divorce when you want to reconcile and be with your wife, I can only imagine the sadness and the pain that you've been going through and the hurt with these betrayals. And I hear in your question, you wonder what to do about these accusations that you've been emotionally and verbally abusive, and you wonder where the truth lies in that. And what I imagine your wife may be doing is projecting to protect herself and to protect her own behavior, because it doesn't sound like she truly repented in a long-term way, that rather she minimized the hurt that she caused you and maybe even accused you of influencing why she made those decisions. Now, there is an idea, though, in couples counseling, which is that when one person in the couple has an affair, there were two people, though, that had something to do with the deterioration in the relationship, only because we are all imperfect. Now, it doesn't take the responsibility away from your wife and having the affairs, but that's why your question is so wise, because you're imperfect too. And so you may have done things that hurt the relationship, that damaged the marriage, but your wife is not taking responsibility for what she did as well. So I have a couple of suggestions to offer you so that you can find that truth. One is asking safe people in your life for their feedback about her accusations that you are emotionally or verbally abusive. Now, it has to be safe people that are willing to give you truth in love, because maybe there is some truth to what she accused you of. But I would also say getting further assistance from a counselor to identify what she's projecting onto you that may have more to do with her own behavior that she wants to cover and hide from. Now, the last piece I would say, and then I want to turn this over to Mylan, is that for the sake of your 7 and your 10-year-old, I do think it's worthwhile to continue seeking out a way to have as healthy a level of communication with her as you can, because she's the mother of your children. But how difficult to do, and I'm so sorry what you're going through. Mylan, I wonder what
well,
you would
appreciate
add.
That. Mm-hmm. And I've done quite a bit of counseling, and I feel like I meet with a lot of middle-class male counselors who all kind of tell me the same. You know, they tell me to read Cloud's book about boundaries, and they've alluded, like from Branson, they alluded that there was probably some borderline personality issues there. And then I get told to read DeGroat stuff on loving a fool. And,
okay, let's hear what Mylan might have to say here.
Okay.
I think the term emotionally abusive is way overused. And we don't know what it means. Sometimes there is true emotional abuse that takes place in a relationship. But there are many wounded people in this world who view anything that feels uncomfortable to them as emotional abuse. Now, does your wife have a history of getting angry with you?
Yeah.
Okay. And when she's angry, then do you pull away and avoid her?
Yeah, I actually was reading some of your materials, and I'm probably an avoider.
Okay, so what happens is that sets up a chase scene, but your wife so longs to have a closeness with you. And that closeness is sabotaged by the anger that she feels when you're not close enough in the right way or at the right time, et cetera, et cetera. And so she calls that emotionally abusive. Now, the clues I have on that are the fact that she really needs attention, hence the affairs, the real ones, emotional ones, whatever. She's very susceptible to somebody giving her a lot of attention. I've seen you in my office dozens and dozens and dozens of times, this combination. It is not something that you have to throw away. It's highly repairable. But what I want you to do is really stop and think. Alice's question, have I really been emotionally that way or not?
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
first time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back.
We are back. We were just saying to Bob that, you know, this is a classic, a core pattern we see in our offices all the time. And it is something that, again, it's the perception of the – it's not just Alice out of – to your point, out of those affairs, she's projecting onto him anger, irritation. She's projecting onto him impatience with who and what he is. But it's also out of her woundedness. If she has wounds of anybody opposing her, disagreeing with her, or not wanting to come close, especially if she's angry, those wounds are very much things that push people away too. So it's a both and to what you just said. And I said before the break, Bob, that you should stop and ask yourself, what has been the nature, what would she describe as the most emotionally abusive moment? And am I truly this person who's the emotionally abusive person? Or is it that I disconnect? Is it that I walk away? Is it that I get angry when I'm backed into a corner and she's calling that emotional abuse? We have to be able to legitimately answer those questions.
Yeah.
And two other thoughts. One is you can ask your wife for examples of how you've been emotionally mm-hmm. and verbally abusive, but it's very important that you invite that kind of a conversation in a time where you and your wife are most calm and you're right. able to just listen mm-hmm. without minimizing or defending yourself. You can even go in with a pad of paper and a pencil to say, I just want to hear how I've been emotionally and verbally abusive to you because I want to change and I'm going to listen, and then write down what she says. Then I would take that list to one of your safe people to go over it with someone else that knows you well to be able to find the truth therein. And one last suggestion to your question of should you continue to try to reunite with your wife. Mm-hmm. There's a book called Torn Asunder by Dave Carter. And the premise of the book is that we will all need healing whether or not we reunite as marriage partners with this person. We need healing for our sake and for the sake of our children. So I'd have you look that book up, Torn Asunder by mm-hmm. Dave Carter.
Good book. Good book. Good points.
Good counsel. Thank you for calling, Bob. Before we go to our last caller, I just wanted to say that today is Take Your Life Back Tuesday on New Life social media accounts. You can follow at New Life or at Steve Arterburn on Twitter. You can get some great advice on how to have the life God wants for you. You can find practical solutions to whatever problems you're facing. We're also on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, and YouTube. No better way to access free life-changing ideas than on some of our social media channels. Okay, let's go and speak to Heather. She's on line 8. Hello, Heather. How can we help you today?
Yes. I actually had a comment.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just calling just to encourage the many people that call with problems related to sexuality. And, you know, everyone's calling your show for wisdom, right? And that's one of the ways that you open the show, and I've listened on and off for many, many years, and I today you did it. I don't know if they always do it, but I know a long time ago they used to always open it with scripture, mm-hmm. especially when Henry Cloud and John Townsend were on, and I could always tell that they, you know, had been studying the word a really long time, and I loved how they would point people in that direction and kind of proclaim a scripture at the beginning of the show. And so I just was struck by how many people call looking for wisdom. And I know the book of Proverbs, I just wanted to put a plug for the book of Proverbs for people to start reading that again. Because there's so many answers in there, especially the first seven chapters.
It's an easy book to read because you could do a chapter a day and get through it in the month. I mean, it's just wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. And, we're around, privileged to be around a lot of homeschooling families, and a lot of them do this with their teenagers when they're in middle school. You know, they study the book of Proverbs for like 2 years or something like this, and it's wonderful, and they can see it and understand it and take these things away and learn for themselves. The kids, they read it every day. And we do a lot with like Bible Gateway. There's just different ways you can do apps or things that, you could listen to it while you do your exercise in the morning or whatever, all kinds of ways. But I just wanted to encourage people to get back to reading the Word of God. And I just feel like the Lord is doing a revival work in this nation and calling people back to Himself in that way. And a lot of these issues, we would get answers to just by reading that ourselves and meditating on it, over and over again.
Well, thank you for the encouragement. Yeah. Go Proverbs. Yeah. We want to be a part of that revival, and we feel like we are turning people in their hearts towards the Lord. And reading scripture is wonderful. It's basic. It's what we need to do. But we need to do more. I mean, we need to live scripture and have our response to things be based on what God's word says. So thank you so much for that, Heather. We appreciate it. We're going to... If you're listening and you're on hold, we're going to take your calls next hour, I promise you. But we are out of time for calls. I want to remind folks that New Life depends upon your financial support. And if you make a gift this month, we are going to give you a book, Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, by Dave Stoop. And Dave wrote the book on forgiveness. He did. He helps you understand things about Old Testament, New Testament, God's anger and wrath. I heard somebody say this, it was Paul Young, the guy that wrote The Shack. I heard him say last week, God's wrath in the Old Testament was against us, but God's wrath since the New Testament is for us. And he meant that about a scene in a movie where God was portrayed as hacking through a jungle to get to the person that he wanted to get to and need. And his wrath was at the enemy, at Satan, at the evil. And it was just a real, I just love that comment. His wrath is for us. He doesn't have the wrath that he's trying to condemn us. That's not what God does. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but that book, Forgiving What You Never Forget, is a great book on forgiveness. So we need your support. Club New Life is a way you can support us. When you join Club New Life, you're committing to give $30 a month, every month. And that means that you'll get a thank you gift, Take Your Life Back, Day by Day Devotional, and a flash drive that has five popular segments from New Life TV. So you can call us at 800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. And we depend upon that. We pay for the airtime. We pay to get our workshops done. We pay our staff. But the reason we do all of it is life change. And you two have been a part of a lot of life change through the radio and through workshops. Speak to that for a minute about the life change that you've experienced.
Well, I want to say that I benefited first as a listener, and I want to appeal to those listeners that have yet to give, because that's what really got me giving. I had listened for several years without giving anything, and I remember a spot on the radio telling us listeners that that it costs so much to provide this, but we benefit it to an invaluable degree. You can't put a dollar sign on the benefit to change lives, and that motivated me to start giving. And it also can't compare to the cost of going into your own individual therapy, which can be pretty expensive. But here we get to hear from the likes of Milan Yurkovich and learn from him. So if you haven't given yet, please take this as motivation to give so that this wisdom can keep flowing through the radio, because it does provide such a service, and it has turned my life around by what I heard as a listener on this show.
Well, thank you.
Larry, when we hear God's word, and then when we enter into this thing called community, which we do here on the radio, if you stop and think about it, the listeners on the radio are a part of our community. we create a community. Many of these people, as Heather said, she's listened for years. It creates a community, but then when we have our workshops, it creates a physical community that allows us to be together, to be honest and do the one another's of Scripture. Talk, be honest, share, listen, be encouraged, etc. So this is a powerful place where we're talking about things that a lot of churches don't even address.
I read a quote today that said, God gives every bird food, but he doesn't throw it into the nest. And so that's what we're given, the food, but you got to take steps to make it happen.
I kind of wish he would, actually.
Yeah. But. Okay, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.